That was a rather strong introduction to me this morning. I feel rejuvenated and alive. My sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome. Welcome to our service of worship this morning at First Presbyterian Church, Fond du Lac. Whether you are here joining us in person, whether you are joining us live on our Zoom feed, or if you are watching this several days from now on our YouTube channel, we are exceedingly glad that you are with us today. Please note that we are observing the sacrament of Holy Communion today. This is the Lord's table. It's not mine, this church's, nor this denomination's. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to, when the time has come, to join in the sacrament with us. There are a number of announcements in our bulletin this morning. I hope you've been taking an opportunity to look at them and to plan your week of ministry and growing in faith in the times ahead, days to come. Please notice Monday is deacons at 1 o'clock. You have already received your agenda and preparatory material for that. And I want to encourage, I know 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, many of you men are already at work. If you are retired or you're able to choose your own hours, I invite you to come in and join the men's group at the Pump and Pantry on Wednesday mornings at 8 o'clock. We don't do anything heavy, but we enjoy ourselves tremendously. And I hope if you are able that you will come and be a part of that. I would like you to notice next Sunday at the very end of the worship service, there will be a brief congregational meeting for the purpose of electing new officers. And today, following the service in the fellowship hall, will be the last presentation by our congregational mission study team. They have pulled their thoughts, consolidated everything into one presentation. And I hope that you will avail yourself of this opportunity to stay and see it. Of course, it will be recorded. It will be on Zoom. But it's better, obviously, if you can stay and be a part of it in person. I hope you will be able to. Is that everything? Have I covered all the announcements that I needed to do? Then in that case, my friends, daylight savings time, it ended or it started, whatever, yesterday. I can never keep those straight. But we worship the God who gives us the day and the night. We worship the God who calls us to dedicate time to sitting and being in God's presence with one another. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for this wonderful gift of sitting quietly before the Lord.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all our hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join me in the call to confession. In Jesus Christ, God moves toward us with open arms, welcoming our confession and offering a fresh start. Together, let us seek God's forgiveness. Gracious God, you call us to faithful living, giving ourselves to you and to one another after the example of Jesus. Yet sin prevents us from following your directions. We pursue our own goals, worship our own gods, and place our hope in things that cannot last. Wash us anew, forgive us again. Give us ears to hear your call and faith to follow where Christ leads. Now, please take a moment for your own silent confession.
My beloved, stand firm. Stand firm in the gospel. Stand firm in the goodness and mercy of our God. Stand firm in what you have been taught from the beginning. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Now that we are at peace with God and one another, I encourage you to share God's peace with those around you.
As it was.
Our first scripture this morning is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. Before I go there, let me just briefly say a little something about the text. We need to understand that, generally speaking, in the ancient world, there was not a concept of a bodily life after death. Most of the people, the Greeks, the Romans, if they thought about life after death, and it was existing as a shadow in the land of shadows. You were down in Hades, and you existed as sort of a wraith or a spirit, and it was a very dull, unenjoyable place. It was not hell as we think of hell, but it was definitely not something you would look forward to. It was just this dull place of shadows. Ancient Israel appears to have had much the same idea about life after death. But later in Judaism, closer to the time of Jesus, they developed the concept of resurrection, that we would exist in some form, we would live on after we die. But there was an important group of people in Israel in Jesus' time who were called the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in life after death. And that's why they were sad, you see. But you're going to remember that. You're going to remember that. Yes, you are. The Sadducees, when they thought about life after death at all, they thought about it in terms of an earlier concept that the Israelites had had, that we live on after death in children. And it was very important that in some way the names of the children would evoke the names of the deceased, so that your name would not die out upon the earth. That was, you know, their concept of eternal life, was that our line would live on. So that's the background that we have here when the Sadducees come to question Jesus about the resurrection. So beginning in Luke chapter 20 with verse 27. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. And then some of the scribes answered, teacher, you have spoken well. My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And now I would like to invite the youngest of our disciples to come forward and have a word with me. Miss Jennifer is not here today, so I am taking Miss Jennifer's place. Yeah, I'm a little scared too, but come on down. Come on down here. Whoops, would one of you please bring Jesus over here? Thank you. Thank you very much. We don't want to leave Jesus out, do we? No. Thank you very much. There you go. Jesus, you stay right there. Yeah. You can move forward if you want. If you want to move forward, that's fine. I'm happy for you to do that. Did you do something special last week? Starting to come back. What was it? What did you do that was special? Speak up. Pastor Ken is very old. He can't hear you. What did you do? What did you do? What was special last weekend? Maybe you put on something you don't wear very often. What was it? Trick-or-treating. Yes. And did you dress up for trick-or-treating? You put on something you don't wear every day, did you? Right? Just probably once a year? And did people give you things? Did they give you eggplants? Cigars? No? What did they give you? Candy! Boy, yeah. Have you eaten all your Halloween candy? Almost. This woman has strength right here. I'm here to tell you, you are my example now. And when you received the candy, you went up and you had your basket or your bag and you said trick or treat, right? And they put candy there for you. What did you say? What? Thank you. Yes, exactly. You said thank you, didn't you? So we only say thank you once a year, right? No, we only say thank you at Halloween, right? No? When do we say thank you? A lot. You sure? Not just every other day. I'll bet somebody's going to make sure you have supper tonight. Somebody's going to make sure you have supper tonight. After you finish supper, what are you going to say? Yeah. And I'll bet somebody makes sure you have clean clothes to put on. Somebody make sure you have clean clothes to put on. And what do you say to the person who does that? Yeah. See, thank you is one of these things that we don't just say once a year, but we also get gifts all the time. Somebody feeds us. Somebody has clean clothes for us to wear. When we get too big, when we grow out of our shoes, somebody goes and gets us shoes that fit, don't they? They give us love that way. And you know who gives us love every day? Even when we haven't been our best? Jesus. God loves us every day. And do we say thank you to God every day for loving us? We should. Maybe some days we forget, but we need to remember And you know what? We don't have to dress up for somebody to make us supper, but we do need to say thank you. And we don't need to dress up for the gift of eternal life, for the gift of love that God gives us. But we do need to say thank you. And we can say thank you by sharing our toys, by putting our clothes away when somebody asks us to, maybe playing nicely with somebody and not kicking each other. You know, maybe we could do that. That would be a way to be nice to each other and to show love and thanks to other people. So let's pray and let's ask God to help us show thanks. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for loving us, not just once a year, but every day. And thank you that we don't have to dress up and be somebody else for you to love us. Thank you, Lord, that you do love us, no matter what we're wearing or what we look like or how we're behaving. But help us to say thank you. Help us to say thank you by sharing your love with others. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you very much. You've been very attentive. I believe Miss Jennifer will be back next week. Would somebody like to put Jesus back in his chair? Would you put Jesus back in his chair, please? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. The hardest part of my day is over with. I don't know about y'all. Question for us, my friends. Do you have mystery in your life? Do you have mystery in your life? Or are there times when you have a sense of awe or wonder? Perhaps, you know, you're out in the woods. Maybe you're hunting. Maybe you're just going for a walk. Perhaps you're listening to beautiful music, or perhaps there is a work of art or a sculpture or something that you stand in front of it and you say, I don't know what's happening, but I feel a sense of mystery. I feel a sense of awe and wonder. We have this sense of transcendence, you know, that we are taken up out of ourselves and are part of something larger. I hope you have room for mystery in your life, because we all need it. We all need a sense at times of mystery and awe. Yes, there are times when we need to be very clear and exact and precise. You know, if I'm having surgery, I want my doctor to be clear and precise and exact. And we'll make room for mystery and awe later, buddy. But right now, we need some clear, exact, and precise. But we still need room in our lives for mystery. The Sadducees, sadly, thank you. The Sadducees, sadly, do not much care for mystery. They want things to be clear and exact and precise. And so they bring to Jesus this question about levirate marriage. Now, the term levirate marriage actually comes from Latin. It's Latin for brother-in-law, something like that. And the idea is that if a man marries and then dies without having any children by this woman, then one of the man's brothers would take this woman to be his wife and would have children with her, but the children would be named for the dead man. And in this way, the man's name would live on. And they would have, you know, what was for them life after death. And the woman would be assured of care and support. So it answers two important questions. It handles two important problems for them. The children are named for the dead man. And so the dead man is going to live on in those children and in those names. And the woman is going to be sure of care and support for her. Doesn't work for us. We wouldn't do that. Kind of gross, to tell you the truth. But it worked for them. And that's the thing. It worked very well for them. And it was not just the Jews who practiced this. Levirate marriage seems to have been widely practiced throughout the ancient Near East. So the Sadducees bring this question of levirate marriage to Jesus. But the question is absurd, right? There are seven brothers. They all have one wife. None of them has any children by her. So in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? It's an absurd question. But that's the point. Their point is that just the concept of resurrection is absurd. That's what they're trying to get at. But Jesus corrects them, right? He shares with them that there is resurrection. Resurrection is a fact because God is God of the living, not God of the dead. We heard in our Old Testament lesson that Carol read for us. God is God of the living. There is resurrection. But then Jesus doesn't share many details. You notice that? He gives us just a little bit. Come on, Jesus, this is your chance. Tell us in detail. He shares just a little bit, but then he leaves the rest of it a mystery. It is a mystery. Jesus intentionally leaves out the details. And so the resurrection is a mystery. And personally, I think that is one of the strengths of this passage. And I also think this is one of the gifts that Christianity can give to the world. That in our faith, we have mystery. And this is something that the world so badly, badly needs. Indulge me just a minute. Let me share this poem with you. It's on the back page of your bulletin. You know, I've said before, I'm an old English major. Old English majors spend a lot of time thinking about old Englishmen, usually dead old Englishmen. This dead Englishman is William Wordsworth. Anybody, was anybody here would know this poem? Okay, yeah, if you had to take, you know, a British poetry or British literature section when you were in high school or college, or if you took something on the history of poetry, you might well have come across this wonderful poem by William Wordsworth. I'm going to read it through one time, and then I'm going to go back and just pick it apart just a little bit. The world is too much with us. Late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon. This sea that bears her bosom to the moon, the winds that will be howling at all hours and are upgathered now like sleeping flowers. For this, for everything, we are out of tune. It moves us not. Great God, I'd rather be a pagan, suckled in a creed outworn. So might I, standing on this pleasant lea, have glimpses that would make me less forlorn, have sight of Proteus rising from the sea, or hear old Triton blow his wreathed horn. The world is too much with us. We are too caught up in the world. We are too caught up in the day-to-day busyness of late and soon, getting and spending, and this appointment and that appointment. And I thought you had the kids this afternoon, and what are we going to do? When are we going to get a chance to rest? We're exhausted. We've given our hearts away. And now not even nature speaks to us. The sea, the wind, the flowers, we're out of tune to them. It's like we're in a different key, or we're on a different frequency. I'd rather be a pagan raised in some long dead, defunct myth, just to have the hope, just to have the barest of hopes, that just standing looking at the sea, I could maybe catch a glimpse of one of the Greek gods of the oceans rising up out of the depths. This poem was written in 1802. It is 220 years old, and yet it speaks to us. It speaks to us today. Because this is us, isn't it? This is us. Because we are busy. The world is so much with us, coming and going, and appointments and jobs to do and things to get done and profits to be made and profits to be invested. We're too busy. Even nature is hard-pressed to fill us with a sense of mystery or awe anymore. But the good news of God, and remember, with God, there is always good news. With God, we don't have to cling to some dead religions who have the faint hope of having mystery in our lives. Our faith is vibrant. Our faith is alive. Our faith offers us, our faith offers the world the gift of mystery. And yes, there are times when our faith is clear and exact and precise. The powerless need help. What is the clear and precise and exact thing we are going to do for them? But our faith also offers us mystery, awe, transcendence. The virgin birth, the resurrection, the Trinity, the sacraments. Our faith offers us and the world the gift of mystery, the gift of wonder and awe. Because, my friends, this is how much God loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so we come now to celebrate one of the mysteries of our faith, the mystery of the sacrament of communion. If you were in one of the classes I was teaching, the new member class, when we talked about Presbyterianism, what it is we believe, you'll remember that we said that in our understanding of the sacraments, when we come to this act of communion by faith, when we come as the body, then we as the body are lifted up into the heavenly realms, even if just for a few moments. We are lifted up into the heavenly realms, and we live with God and the saints and experience the great love of God with us. This is what we celebrate in communion today. Also, if you were in one of those classes, Christy, if you want to come up, if you were in that class, I said that Presbyterianism is two things. Presbyterianism is a theology and a polity. It is not a style of worship. I have been in Presbyterian worship services that you would swear were storefront Pentecostal revival. And I have been in Presbyterian worship services that you would think were pre-Vatican II Latin High Mass. It's what we think about God and how we live together in faith and ministry that sets us apart and makes us Presbyterian. So today we're doing something a little special. We're bringing some singing into the great prayer of thanksgiving. And Chris here is going to lead us through this one time so that when we get to it, we're ready to go. Okay, ladies, find this in your bulletin. It's on the screen. Go ahead, please. One time, all together, please.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are thine.
And it's the same tune for the other parts also. So, once you get that tune down, you're good. All right? Good. Friends, we gather here together now to celebrate the sacrament of communion. And as I said, this is not my table. It does not belong to this church or to this denomination. This is the Lord's table. And it is the Lord who invites you to be a guest at this table. Even if you and Jesus don't talk every day, or even once a year. If you look to the Lord's return, if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then friend, this table is for you. And we encourage you to be a part of it. Will you join me now in our responsive prayer of great prayer of thanksgiving? Let us pray. The Lord be with you.
So with you.
Let us lift up our hearts.
To the one who heals our brokenness.
Let us offer our thanks to God who has prepared this table for us.
For God's the one who offers us life in every moment.
We thank you for your greatness, God of the living, and fall silent. When there was only chaos, you whispered your word. And creation sprang forth.
The sun and the stars filled the heavens with your splendor.
And the earth sang your glory. You filled us with your dreams of life with you forever. But we confused our hopes with our desires and went chasing after the seduction of sin and death. You sent the prophets to remind us of the stories we had been told as your children, but we thought them to be myths and fables. So once again, you sent your word to speak sense to our minds. Therefore, in this time and place, with those who have gone before, with those who will come after, we join in the song of all creation.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Holy are you, God of understanding, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son. When we had been defeated by the songs of the world, he came to speak of hope and to offer us justice. When we were easily confused by the promises of sin, he came to make clear your dreams for us. When we thought we could save ourselves, he offered himself on the cross that we might spend eternity in your presence. As we come to the table of grace, as we are offered all your gifts, we remember what Christ has done for us. Send your spirit upon the gifts of the bread and the cup, and upon your children who gather in this place. Place into our empty hands your bread made with life and mercy, that we might take justice and peace to the outcast of our world. Fill our parched hearts with the cup of grace, that we might be poured out for the broken and lost. In these times and places, heal us with the peace of this joyous feast, that we might become your people of hope. Then, when this world passes away, when the time has come to an end, we will gather around your table in your kingdom of grace, singing our praises to you for all eternity, God in community, holy in one. Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus was betrayed into the hands of those who would try to destroy him, he was at the table with them, enjoying the Passover meal. And when the time was right, he took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Matzi lekamen ha'aretz. He gave it to his followers. And he said, this is my body. This is my body. It is a mystery. It is awe and wonder. This is my body that is broken for you. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup and he poured it out. And he shared it with those who were at table with him, saying, this is my blood. This is my blood. This awe, this wonder, this mystery is my blood that has been shed for you. For the forgiveness of sins. As did Christ, so let us do as well. He took the bread and he gave it to his followers and said, eat, do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and gave it to his followers, saying to them, drink all of it. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, once again, you have brought us to be with you. And once again, for just a few moments, we have been caught up into the world of eternity, into the world of life beyond death. knowing the love of you and all your children. We ask, Lord, that we may be worthy of this sense of mystery and awe, that we will take this good news out, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will live lives filled with mystery and wonder. And all who see us will know that we are a people who have experienced transcendence. Lord, knowing that your mystery works in many and various ways, we dare to pray for the world. We dare to pray for people in war, people who are not certain where their next meal will come from, people whose medical care is suspect or non-existent. Lord, we dare to pray for our country as so many of us go to the polls this coming week. We pray, Lord, that we will keep your admonitions and Christ's admonitions in mind, and that we will vote not for the one who promises us the easiest life, but rather, Lord, lead us to ponder which of these many choices will most help us live on earth as you would have us live in heaven. Lord, we lift up to you the burdens of our personal hearts and the burdens of our fellowship. We ask your special blessings today on Darren Beachy, whose father passed away on Friday, as they travel back and forth, as they mourn. We pray that you will keep them all safe. We pray for Ruth's family, that they will know peace in this time of heartache. We ask that Jesse and Silas will know your blessing. We pray that Liam and Jerry and Mary will feel themselves held confidently in the palm of your soft but stable and certain hands. We lift up Chastity and Joan and Jolene and all those who love them, praying that they will know that you love them too. We ask your blessings on Ninad, Pauline, and Arnold. We pray you, may they be at peace. May Gib and Pat be fully aware of what you are doing in their lives. And may Brian and Gary know that you are not only watching over them, but those who love them and care for them and care about them. Lord, we lift all this up to you in the name of the great Lamb of God, the one who came to take away the sins of the world, the one who brought us fully into the joy of your mysteries, the one who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the gifts our faith offers the world is the gift of mystery. But also one of the gifts our faith offers to the world is exactness and preciseness and certainty. How shall we help those who need us the most? And I invite Mary Ellen to share a way we are going to be doing that.
Thanksgiving is coming soon. So now is the time for First Presbyterians to plan for our Thanksgiving Bags mission, where we provide turkey and fixings to the individuals and families who receive services for mental illnesses at the Fond du Lac County Department of Community Programs. So today I'm happy to present a slide journey of how it all works to you. Our goal is to provide a bag or two of traditional Thanksgiving fare. All of our recipients live independently in our community. What you see here is what we give our, quote, singles. Families receive a turkey. In 2021, we had 11 singles and 5 families, which included 6 adults and 12 children for a total of 29 people. We meet at Festival Foods at 9 a.m. on the Monday of Thanksgiving week. By ones and twos, volunteers get a cart and an index card with the names and numbers of needed food items. We separate, search, count, load, and enjoy shopping. Here are Steve and Shanae. Festival has worked with us to make sure we have frozen items like these turkeys waiting for us in their freezer. We get our own lane, and employees really like to help too. Here Roy and Wendy are unloading their pumpkin pies and gravy. Mike and Dick are keeping up with the smooth flow of bagging the food. And off we go. We load the cars, drive to DCP, unload them there, use their equipment to push everything into the day treatment area, unload everything, sort, and start packing. Here are Diane and Ken with some of the canned goods. I think that's the next one. Ah, there they are. We mark the bags with S's for singles and FA for families and pass them around, filling them as we go. And here are Dick and Shanae on the packing assembly line. And here is the best picture of the packing as it shows on a table full of items. Our work is done. Outreach workers deliver the food bags. The woman in the yellow top there is Linda Stutz, our contact person. She tells us every year that staff are asked, especially by the single individuals, am I going to get my bag this year? They're so grateful for the meal, but even more so, they're grateful for being remembered and valued and loved by our church. So happy Thanksgiving. We give each of our recipients one of these pictures of a cornucopia, and we indicate that the food is from the First Presbyterian Church. Food prices, as we know, are going up this year. The serving team has donated designated mission monies. However, we could really use some help as the cost will be greater. Any contributions can be marked Thanksgiving bags in the envelopes in the pew. And thank you all for your long-term support of these very special bags. We know that our recipients know that we are definitely thinking about them. And we know that we are faithfully following Jesus by providing this special dinner to them. There's a sign-up sheet on the greeting table in the narthex for volunteers. There's a great big turkey there, so you can't miss the sign-up sheet. It's not very long that we're together. We usually are able to accomplish this goal in an hour, hour and a half, and we need 10 people to help accomplish this mission with the usual joy, efficiency, and gratitude. I also would like to remind you that next week we're having, after the service, an intergenerational craft activity. We'll have the opportunity, if I can, to do a Thanksgiving wreath to take home, or you can have a thankfulness tree. You can put on leaves what you're thankful for, and then put the leaves on the tree and take that home to remind us of how lucky we are to have so much great bounty and the ability to give to others. Here's another one of the wreaths. And this one has a good Bible verse. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And finally, you can have a door hanger. You can put that. I'm going to put this one in my kitchen. And this one says, in everything, give thanks. So please come next week and get together as a Presbyterian family. Thank you. And be sure to sign up.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Especially be sure to sign up if you've never done this before. What a great opportunity to sort of get your foot wet in the mission action area of our church by signing up for something like doing the shopping and putting the bags together. Friends, God has blessed us so much. Let us return our thanks with our tithes and our offerings. Our gracious Lord God, we bring these gifts with thankfulness. We bring them with excitement. We bring them with a sense of awe, knowing that you are going to multiply them like so many loaves and fishes to go out far beyond this place to feed your children the good news of your love. Please, Lord, bless this offering. In Christ's name, amen. My friends, I do hope that you will sign up if you are at all able to help with this or the other mission opportunities that we have. Remember, next week at the very end of service, a brief congregational meeting to elect officers, and shortly after fellowship time, the final presentation by our mission study team. They put a lot of work and effort into this. And now, my friends, I encourage you to make room for mystery in your life. Embrace this faith that is both clear and complete and precise, and yet offers mystery and offers a sense of wonder and awe. Take this mystery with you. Live that life out in the world. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord God grant you God's own peace this day and evermore. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia. Amen.
Farewell.